Let's read together Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Now, in this section of Hebrews 2, we return to the subject that we had before us in most of chapter 1, namely that Christ is superior to the angels. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. For God has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man, that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Let's begin this section of Hebrews chapter 2 now with some background notes. We mentioned in our studies of Hebrews chapter 1 that the recipients of this epistle to the Hebrews were primarily Jewish. In the Jewish mind, angels were very significant beings. Angels appear on the pages of Old Testament scripture very frequently. Angels were used by God in the giving of the Mosaic Law. So the author to the Hebrews goes to great lengths to show that Christ is superior to the angels. Most of chapter 1 deals with this subject. And now, after the warning and exhortation in verses 1 through 4 of this chapter, chapter 2, the author returns to the subject again, that Christ is superior to the angels. Now, we may think that the writer of Hebrews is belaboring this subject unnecessarily. He's not belaboring it if we remember the Jewish audience to whom the author is writing. You might say, well, you know, why even bother studying this portion of God's word if it was really more applicable to the Jewish mind than to the Christian today? Well, don't think that this truth, that Christ is greater than the angels, doesn't have its application for today. As you know, there's a great emphasis today on angels. Look at the number of TV programs and popular books that exalt angels and have angels as their theme. These writers and producers need to read Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, the emphasis was on the deity of Christ. That is, Christ is superior to the angels because he is the Son of God. But now here in chapter 2, the emphasis is on the humanity of Christ. That is, Christ is superior to the angels not only in his deity, but also in his humanity. You can imagine the Jewish mind of the first century trying to come to grips with this truth. What? Christ as man is greater than the angels? Yes, that's the point. So once again, the doctrinal point or teaching point for this section of Hebrews chapter 2 is that Christ is superior to the angels. But now the emphasis is on the humanity of Christ. That is, Christ is superior to the angels even though he became a man. So that's our doctrinal point. Christ is superior to the angels even though he became a man. Doctrinal point number one. Christ is superior to the angels even though he became a man. To show that Christ is superior to the angels because he is God is a lot easier to do than to show that Christ is superior to the angels even though he was a man. Right? By the way, the fact that Christ was true man is assumed here. Now, I hope your theology is orthodox at this point. Christ was both God and man at the same time. Fully God and fully man. Not 50% God and 50% man, but 100% God and 100% man. This is what the wonder of the incarnation is all about. But as man, was Christ greater than the angels? Yes. And the author of Hebrews proves his point now with two subpoints, A and B. A, because of God's original plan. Christ is superior to the angels, even though he became a man, because of God's original plan. Look at verse 5 once again. For he, that is God, has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. God's original plan was never that angels were to be greater than man. Never. Why, the world to come is not going to be subject to angels, but to man. The world to come here is not now in the present, but in the future, when the Lord returns to this earth and brings in the messianic age of worldwide peace and blessing. That's the world to come. And that great kingdom is not going to be ruled by angels, but by man. In fact, the man, Christ Jesus. All of those great passages in the Old Testament which prophesy of the kingdom of God on earth will be fulfilled. And that world to come will not be ruled by angels, but by man. Now in verses 6 through 8, the author of Hebrews quotes part of Psalm 8 to prove his point. Let's read those verses once again. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Although man is a little lower than the angels now because of mortality and other frailties, it will not be that way in the future. Right now, angels have greater knowledge than men, greater mobility than mankind, greater power than man, but not in the world to come. And this is right in line with God's original plan for man. Right from the beginning, man was created in the image of God and given dominion over the rest of creation. Although sin has come in and messed things up temporarily, God's original plan has not been overturned. The man, Christ Jesus, has come and saved the plan. Thus, you see, Psalm 8 is really a messianic psalm. The eternal Son of God was made a little lower than the angels. Some of your translations say for a little time. It could be translated either way, a little while, a little time, or made a little lower than the angels when he became man and took on the frailties of humanity. Sin apart. Very careful here, right? When the eternal Son of God became man, he became a little lower than the angels in that he took on the frailties of humanity. He took on mortality. He died. He took on the weakness of man in that he had to sleep. He had to eat. Angels don't have to do that, right? But remember, sin apart, while the eternal Son of God took on humanity and the frailties of humanity, no sin. Sin apart. But now he is crowned with glory and honor. Not just a little higher than the angels, but much higher. And yet he is still man. Thus, God's original plan for man is preserved and fulfilled in Christ. And a lot more we could say for that first subpoint. But now, subpoint B. Because of man's original sin, Christ is superior to the angels, even though he became a man, because of man's original sin. The end of verse 8 and verse 9. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Right now, we don't see everything under the dominion of man as God originally intended it. How come? Well, we have the answer right here. Because of man's original sin. Man, created in the image of God, the apex of God's creation, disobeyed God and sinned. As a result, man lost his high position, and the whole creation was subjected to futility. That's what we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 20. Let me just read that. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. So as we look around us now, what do we see? We don't see God's original plan. we see disorder and chaos and a world that is not in subjection under man, all because of man's sin. But we also see Jesus. I love this second but of this passage. Do you see the two buts of verses 8 and 9? Let's read that again. The end of verse 8. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. The eternal Son of God was made a little lower than the angels when he became man. He did this so that he could die. The penalty for sin is death, and angels don't die. Christ became man so that he could die and by the grace of God taste death for everyone. Does that mean that everyone is saved? No. But it does mean that the death of Christ was sufficient for everyone to be saved. Unlimited atonement, provisional for all, and effective for those who believe. So Christ is superior to the angels, even though he became a man, because of God's original plan and because of man's original sin. Now, what about practical application? Aren't you glad that God is mindful of you? Aren't you glad that God is mindful of you? We said that verses 6 through 8 is a quotation from Psalm 8. I'd like you to go back to Psalm 8. Look at the verses which come before the verses quoted here in Hebrews 2. I'm reading Psalm 8, verses 3 through 5. David said there, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." And then comes the quote from Hebrews chapter 2. "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen," and so forth. David must have been out on a clear night, gazing up at the stars. And when he considered the greatness and vastness of God's universe, he was reminded how small and insignificant he was. How many of you have had that experience? Aren't you glad that God is mindful of you? Illustration. You know, one of the displays down at the Adler Planetarium, I think it's still there, it's a three-dimensional model of the Milky Way galaxy. And there's an arrow pointing to a very insignificant small dot, not even near the center of the galaxy. And the sign reads, "You are here." I'll never forget when I saw that. I mean, it makes you feel so insignificant. And the Milky Way galaxy is only one of millions of galaxies. I'm so glad that we have the Bible to tell us that God is mindful of us. We'd never know it apart from Scripture and the revelation of God's love in Christ. Aren't you glad that God is mindful of you?